Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. Regarding Melchizedek, we have established that he and Abram believed in, worshipped, and honored the same God. And yesterday we saw how the Canaanite Melchizedek, in the context of an idolatrous, pagan, and polytheistic people, stood out as a wonderful exception because of his own faith in God. He was chosen by the one and only true God, and he served him, as is evidenced by Melchizedek's brief encounter with our father Abram in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20. Now, having established this, I want to mention something here at the start, and what I say will be covered again when we draw to a conclusion this conversation, and I address several options for who was Melchizedek. Remember, there is a mystery surrounding who he was, and I am eager to get to that, but not yet. However, here's a natural place to let you know that our Jewish friends, who very much are our friends, Jewish tradition says that Melchizedek was Shem. So that you hear it again, the tradition of the Jews is that Melchizedek was Shem. And after what I said the last few days, we can see how Shem would make sense. And somebody asks, who was Shem? S-H-E-M, Shem. He was the son of Noah. Remember that Noah, who believed in God by faith, when commanded, built an ark into which he, his wife, his sons and their wives, plus all the animals, entered, and in which they survived the great flood God brought upon the earth. Shem was in that ark and survived the flood. And obviously Shem knew, believed in, worshipped, and honored the same God as Abram did. In fact, what we learn about Shem in Genesis and throughout the Bible is that it was through Shem and his lineage that comes Jesus Christ. We can follow Shem all the way through all of Scripture. So if Melchizedek was Shem, it is not strange that he would use the language God Most High and Possessor of Heaven and Earth, and that he would greet Abram in the manner that Melchizedek did. Was Shem still alive in the days of Abram? Oh, yes, he was. The Bible makes this clear if we assume there are no gaps in the genealogies of Genesis chapter 11. Shem went on to live a very long time as compared to our average lifespans today. So that you get the sense for how long Shem lived, let me read for you Genesis chapter 11, verses 10 and 11. This is Genesis chapter 11, verses 10 and 11. These are the records of the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and became the father of Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived 500 years after he became the father of Arpachshad, and he had other sons and daughters. Okay, so 2 years after the flood, Shem became a father. And Shem lived another 500 years after he became a dad, so that he lived 100 years before fatherhood, and an additional 500 years afterwards, making him 600 years old at the time of his death. And you thought your 80th birthday was a big deal? What a life! If he had one of these cakes where one candle represents every year of life, that it must have been one big cake. He'd need 600 candles. Oh, I hope it was an ice cream cake. Anybody else in the mood for one of those? I can hear someone say, it wasn't an ice cream cake. If he lived 600 years, ice cream is not good for you. If you want to live a long life, avoid it. Okay, I admit it, you are right. Too much ice cream will kill you, but come on, it's ice cream. And who does not love ice cream? Especially at a birthday party. The point is, it is certainly possible that Melchizedek could have been Shem, at least age-wise. And if this is true, then Melchizedek is a title rather than a name. Shem had the title Melchizedek. But there are problems with this view, and we will take those up another day, perhaps even next week. We will have to see how we do on time. What I wanted to do this day was to insert here, after a discussion on this faith Melchizedek has in the same God of Abram, insert here the possibility, embraced by Jewish tradition, that Melchizedek was the man Shem. All right, having noted that, let's get back to what we do know about Melchizedek. Thus far, we have 5 points. I will repeat those and then give you a 6th. This will be a good time to write these down if you have only recently joined us. What do we know about Melchizedek? Point number 1. We know what his name means. Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. Point number 2. We know that he was the king of Salem. Genesis 14, verse 18 says this, Melchizedek, king of Salem. And we talked about where Salem was, and I proposed that Salem is Jerusalem. So that we can say Melchizedek was king of Jerusalem. Furthermore, Salem means peace or safety, so that we can say Melchizedek was king of peace. He was king of righteousness and peace. Point number 3, also in Genesis 14, verse 18, we learn that Melchizedek was a priest of God Most High. Melchizedek was a priest. Point number 4, Melchizedek was both priest and king. And point number 5, Melchizedek and Abram believed in, worshipped, and honored the same God. And now, point number 6, Melchizedek brought Abram bread and wine. Genesis 14, verse 18 says, And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. I want to say a couple of things about this. First, while it may be tempting for Protestants, evangelical Christians here, to think of communion or the Lord's Supper in the bread and in the wine, and while it may be tempting for Roman Catholics to here think of the Holy Eucharist, a priest, bread and wine, this is not that. We must not read back into Genesis something that was not there. That's first. Second, what we do have here is a king, the king Melchizedek, bringing out provisions to restore the strength of Abram's hungry and thirsty trained men. Melchizedek brings much-needed refreshment. The bread and the wine are rations for soldiers. And this is a way to celebrate the big victory they have had over the armies of the north, northeast. In his kingship, Melchizedek expresses friendship in a very common way, food and drink, bread and wine. To this very day, when we want to celebrate someone, when we want to express a kindness, and when we want to offer refreshment, we bring out food and drink. For example, ice cream cake. I just cannot get it off my mind. John Calvin put it this way, reflecting on Melchizedek's act. He refreshed a wearied and famishing army with royal liberality. He refreshed a wearied and famishing army with royal liberality. Very well said. Here, I would like to make some application to our lives. As I noted at the start of our discussion with Melchizedek, he is deeply associated with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. We will come to that. Well, here he does something Christ does for us who believe in him by our faith and who look to him daily for our provision. Are we not Christians who can get very weary fighting the battles we have to face in our lives? We go up against the world, our flesh, and the devil. Daily, in the words of Paul to the Ephesians, we put on the full armor of God and go to war. And we get tired, hungry, thirsty, and so weary. And just then, Jesus comes out to meet us, and he has his bread and his wine that he shares in abundance with us. He feeds us. He waters us. He restores our soul. Twyla Paris sings a song I like very much. I can relate to it. The title is "The Warrior is a Child." It speaks to being warriors in this evil world and how our Lord, as we go running to him and look up to see him, he refreshes us. Listen as I read the lyrics. Lately, I've been winning battles left and right, but even winners can get wounded in the fight. People say that I'm amazing, strong beyond my years, but they don't see inside of me. I'm hiding all the tears. They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a while, 'cause deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Unafraid because his armor is the best, but even soldiers need a quiet place to rest. People say that I'm amazing, never face retreat, but they don't see the enemies that lay me at his feet. They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a while, 'cause deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. I drop my sword and look up for a smile, 'cause deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Melchizedek refreshed Abram and his warriors. In the same manner, Christ refreshes all his warriors, who are really just God's children. I trust this will bless you, my friend, and that you will join us again tomorrow, my fellow warrior, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.